Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day?
Yes, it is. All downhill to the weekend. Well, forget about the weekend for a second. It is all about game day, Mark Schlereth. We're on the eve of game day.
I know. How exciting is that, right?
I mean, Thursday night football.
Are you in love with it right now?
Well, I just love the idea that, you know, we got a couple of days, quick process of the Titans game, and boom, right into the Chiefs game, play it Thursday night, react on Friday. I mean, really fills up
the week.
Not
even going to bother you, right?
Not going to bother me.
Hey, you're ready to play. Mike, you're ready to play. Circle the wagons.
I'm ready to go.
And it's kind of nice. You know, it is kind of nice to get that little bye weekend. And also to have the weekend to really kind of watch whatever you want to watch and not be beholden to, you know, hang down, hunker down. Maybe you want to take the weekend off. Who knows? Maybe you just want to go hang with your family. Maybe play a little catch with your son. I don't know.
Yeah. Sunday comes around. You know, you get some stuff done around the yard.
Or maybe you're just hunkered down watching Red Zone freaking day.
Yes. That's
not a bad option either.
So that I can hope for little snippets of the Seattle-Baltimore game. So I can hear you.
That's right. I watched four games yesterday.
Four games of all right, so who'd you watch?
I watched three games, because I did a Seattle game not too long ago, and then last week, as I was doing Los Angeles, I watched and broke down the Seattle-Los Angeles team. So I watched Seattle's game against Cleveland, and then I watched the last three Baltimore games that they played.
So you're ready to go.
You're
a busy man.
I just watched the game, so I watched the actual telecast. Now I gotta dive into the coaches tape, you know, the stuff that I get from, the stuff that I actually get from the Saints actually send me all the tape. So.
You're grinding, man. You're grinding.
But it's good. I mean, it's obviously, it's good. And, Baltimore is they're pretty unique. But anyhow, it was a good day of film study. I feel pretty dialed into the teams. Now I'm going to get into to the coaches tape to really break down exactly what they do and, you know, situational football, third down and long, third downs and shorts and all that kind of stuff as well as just watching the game.
Well, you're looking for trends. You're looking for patterns. You're looking for a blueprint perhaps. And we've been talking all week about the idea that the last couple of weeks, Indianapolis and Houston perhaps provided a blueprint for what the Broncos can do against the Chiefs. Vic Fangio kind of threw cold water on that yesterday.
Every game has its own personality to it. You know, the Colts played well on that day on all three phases of the game and got some critical takeaways that stopped some drives. Kansas City wasn't at full strength, but I think the Colts just played good. I think the big thing is every game has its own personality.
Does it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to beat the Chiefs, or if you look at a common denominator or two when it comes to teams that are beating the Chiefs, doesn't there appear to be a blueprint?
Well, here's what he's saying. It's interesting that you even bring this up because I just went through this doing the Rams game, and let me tell you what he's essentially saying. Okay. So he is saying that we're going to do what we do. We're not going to copy and paste the game plan from what everybody else has done. Now, are we going to use principles of that? Yeah. Do we want to control line of scrimmage? Do we want to win that battle? Absolutely. But here's what was happening that was interesting. So I'm calling the Rams game and I asked Sean McVay, like, what is going on? Why are you guys not running the ball? What has been the difference? And he basically said, hey, listen, what people have done is they've gotten into this kind of 6-1 defensive structure. They're playing their outside linebackers on the edge of the line of scrimmage, one middle linebacker who's really hugged up close at about 3 yards depth. They're taking away some of our jet sweep stuff, and they're making us get out of the personnel that we like to be in, the 11 personnel. So essentially they're dictating to us, and we're playing a lot more two tights to block the edges. Like they've taken away the edges from us. And he goes, a bunch of teams have just kind of copy and pasted whatever New England did in the Super Bowl, and we haven't adjusted well. So, you know, he's calling himself out and saying we need to be better, right? But he's saying that everybody has taken this kind of 6-1 structure and copy and pasted and cut that. He actually didn't say that. Robert Saleh said that. He said everybody's in the 6-1 structure against us. And then Robert Saleh said everybody, well, who's the defense coordinator of the 49ers, said everybody's kind of cutting and pasting that. And then Robert said, but I've tried that. We did some of it in camp. We weren't very good at it. It takes away the presence of some of our defensive ends, and doesn't let them do what they like to do. So he goes, forget that, man. I'm playing what I play. My guys are really good. They're aggressive, and I'm going to trust my guys. Keep it simple, stupid. Play what we play. And so to me, this is Vic Fangio. Every game has its own deal, but I'm not copy and pasting anybody's crap. We do what we do. We dictate. We set tempo. This is what we do. And we're going to go out there and do it to the best of our ability. And frankly, Mike, I appreciate that. Now, you know, you can sit there and say, hey, man, it's all about, you know, being, you know, having the wrinkles and having the, you know, the different stuff that you want to put in and, you know, playing like the New England Patriots, right? And every week it's a different game plan. Every week it's whatever. Like, that's hard to do. It's just hard to do. And I appreciate a coach that says, we are what we are. We're finally figuring it out. I mean, we've struggled up to this point, right? So we're finally figuring it out. And we're not gonna do anything different than that.
But in your conversation with McVay, though, he did admit that there is a blueprint out there and that it was first established by the Bears and Fangio. The Patriots basically copied it, won them a Super Bowl. And he said that they're seeing more of that this year. So there is a blueprint out on them. And I get what the San Francisco coach is talking about, but here's the thing about the supposed blueprint when it comes to beating the Chiefs. It dovetails perfectly with everything that we've said all offseason about what the Broncos' identity would be.
Right.
Run the football, control the clock, keep your defense fresh. Allow your defense so that they're in favorable field position, you know, situations, all those kind of things. And lo and behold, that's exactly what's beaten the Chiefs the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So in that case, you do want to embrace
the
blueprint because it goes exactly with what you are.
Yes. And that I completely agree with. But that doesn't, to me, that's what they always wanted to be. I mean, they want to be that, you know, much to the dismay of Johnny the statistician who loves to watch NFL football and thinks that the only way to win today's game is you got to throw the ball a million times. And if you don't do that, you know, which is garbage. The trend right now is going back to understanding how to run the ball and win the line of scrimmage. And there's a big trend in the league right now that they're trying to figure that out. And you know, I personally agree with it. You know, everybody wants to, it's so funny because everybody wants to, oh, hey, 8-man box can't run against that. Hey, man, they like have excuses. They have excuses to throw the ball. You gotta be able to run it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the teams to figure that out.
All right, coming up. Why there is cautious optimism, reasons why we could see this Broncos offense break out this week. Tell you next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
Here we go. Wednesday, Thursday Night Football coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be rocking over at, what's the name of that place again? Oh, yeah, Empower Field.
Oh, yeah. A lot of power over
there. Yeah,
Empower.
Hey, you going to the game tonight? Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'll see you over at Empower Field.
You say in Power Field at Mile High. See in Power Field at Mile High.
Is anybody, I'll throw this out there, anybody who's gone to games this year, has anybody, in terms of referring to the stadium, called it in Power Field?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Now,
Mike.
No, you call it Mile High.
No, not the people over at Empower that bought it. You call it Mile High when you're in power.
They don't,
the Hall of Justice over at the Empower Hall of Justice over there, and you're talking to Superman. If Superman calls it, you know, Mile High, you're like, get, I don't even know you anymore, Superman. Get out of the Hall of Justice. That's what you do.
Do you think they really know? Do they, cause they sponsor
the Patriots. Do I think who really knows?
Empower. They sponsor the Patriots. They sponsor the Chiefs. I mean, who knows? Who knows if they even know that they're supporting and endorsing the Broncos? I don't know. All I know is it looks weird on the stadium.
But so,
be that as it may, Joe Flacco on the idea that going up against Showtime will bring out the best in him.
No. you know, there's always you know, that side of it and wanting to go out there and, you know, have your claim on the game and, you know, and all that stuff. There's always a personal side of going out there and playing football games. And I don't think that always means it's a bad thing. Like, kind of like what I just said, I think if you go out there and focus on what you're doing in the with the idea that it's for the guy next to you, and you have to prepare the best that you can, so you're not letting anybody else down. Then you're also serving your boat. You're at the same time serving the team's best interest and your best interest. And I think that that's the most important thing.
All right. So we've taken our shots. We've certainly.
By the way, let me just interrupt you.
No.
That is exactly why people here don't like Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that was.
No, not really.
That quote was almost Orton-esque.
Right. You want him to go like, hell yeah, man, I can't wait to go mano a mano with the unicorn.
Showtime.
Right? You're like, nah, I'm just gonna go out there and execute what I do. Yeah. I'm like, which is the best thing that he could possibly do. Yeah, we always talk about this. It's so funny because we always talk about don't be somebody you're not, right? Do your job. Don't do somebody else's job, because when you try to do somebody else's job, your job falls apart and you guys lose games. So don't try to be anybody other than you. And you are boring. You go out there, you're efficient, you're boring, you know, try not to make mistakes, whatever. Don't try to be Patrick Mahomes, but I mean, as a fan base, we want a different answer. Like, we always yearn for the truth until we actually get the truth, and then we're like, wow, the truth really sucks. I'd rather you lie to me.
No.
that was Orton-esque and Cutler-esque kind of wrapped up in one. So, we've had our fun with the offense. We've taken our shots at the offense. We've debated this offense. But in fairness to this offense, you know, for wanting to see them do more, do we have to take into account the fact that they have gone up against some really stout defenses? And for an offense that is feeling its way with a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator and, you know, a reconfigured offensive line, consider this. They've gone up. These are their six opponents right now, and where those offenses are ranked defensively when it comes to, you know, points allowed. You got Jacksonville at 12. I'll start with Oakland is 20th. Jacksonville is 12th. Chargers are 10th. Green Bay is 9th. Tennessee is 5th. And Chicago is 3rd. So, outside of the top 12 that you've played defensively, gone up against is Oakland. So, should we cut them some slack and, you know, for the first time this season, really, you can say they're playing a mediocre to below average defense. So now we can, a game like this is how we can really evaluate what they got.
No.
Yeah, no, I think it's a point that we talked about on Monday. You know, everybody was like, oh, Tennessee, it was only 16-0. And I'm like, that's one of the top scoring defenses in football. And they're like, just because you don't know the names doesn't mean that they don't have really good players. They do. And you see what they think of their quarterback, you know, their Hall of Fame quarterback that was the number 2 overall draft pick. They're starting Ryan Tannehill this weekend. They have benched Marcus Mariota. Done. He is gone. See ya. It didn't work out. So, you know, I mean, they're looking at it like, damn, we got a top 10, we got a top 5 type of defense here, and our quarterback's not giving us an opportunity to win, and it's so bad that Ryan Tannehill becomes a better option for us. So you're talking about, you know, defenses here, Mike. Evan, you said the Raiders, that are really good defenses. And so I think there is a part of that. Now, if you get to the point where you're playing an offense that's not very good, like the Tennessee Titans, you should be able to, you know, parlay that into turnovers, parlay those turnovers into points, and somehow find a way to score. You know, you should be scoring 30. But when you're getting a shutout, you should be able to find a way to score 30. So, let's not take the offense completely off the hook. You know, and it's not basically forgiving them or excusing them, but there are reasons. You know, there's a difference between excuses and reasons, and there's a reason that their points have been limited to a degree, and part of it is just the offense, but a large part of it is the people they are playing.
Okay, fair. We'll put that's right there. That's up front for everybody to factor into this. But do you honestly believe that this team has an offensive gear, next gear that they can go into immediately tomorrow night? Meaning, like, I think they can win this football game. I absolutely believe they can win this football right. game. If it's 23-20, if it's 24-21, I don't believe this team can win 27-24, 30-27, where, you know, all the points are coming from the offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a bit of a stretch, but I will say this. When it does click, right, when all the new pieces click and the new coordinator clicks and everything works out, I think it can be explosive and dynamic. And we've seen, you know, stretches. It may just be a drive or maybe two drives or maybe a quarter or whatever, but we've seen some of that happen. They haven't been able to put four quarters together. But remember, this defense couldn't stop anybody either for a while. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks ago, it clicked, right? They changed some personnel. They found a couple of guys that were willing participants when it comes to playing the game. And all of a sudden, it clicked a bit. And so, you know, I'm holding out hope, but I agree with you in this. I just don't think there's enough depth of talent. I just don't think there's enough, you know, enough continuity, if you will, for this thing to go, you know, full on 35, 40 points. I don't buy that either.
Well, does Wrinkles, Rich Gangarello, agree with you? How does he see this game playing out for this Broncos offense? We'll hear from him as part of the Morning Brew, the big Jalen Ramsey trade, Mark's reaction on that. And also, have you become a Washington Nationals fan, Rockies fans, as you're searching for a team maybe to follow, root for in these playoffs? Are you settling on the Nats? That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. It's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
It's tough to get a sense for it until you actually get out there and play in it and feel the energy of the crowd. But, you know, feel the intensity of the game also. I think you can get a little taste for it. But, yeah, I think not until I get out there will I get a real sense of what it's like.
Yeah, so Joe Flacco with his first taste of Broncos Kansas City. Of course, he knows rivalries, one of the best for maybe the last 10, 15 years in the NFL has been Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So he steps into a rivalry, which, by the way, the Broncos have lost 7 straight to Kansas City. That has kind of been glossed over this week. Does that factor into any of what we're preparing for tomorrow, the idea that the Chiefs have some sort of mental advantage over the Broncos because they've won 7 in a row?
I don't think that, now a lot of guys aren't part of those 7 straight losses, right? But, man, there are some guys that are part of those 7 straight losses. Von Miller's been here that whole time.
Right.
You know, there's some guys, Chris Harris Jr.'s been here that whole time. So, it better factor in. Like, you better be aware of it. You better be pissed off about it. You better be, you know, want to change it. I mean, so yeah, does it factor in? I know that rosters turn over 30% and all that garbage. Derek Wolfe's been here that whole time.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's some of your big guns that have been here the whole time.
Now these guys, we heard from Chris Harris right after the Titans game. He goes, I don't want to talk about the Titans. I want to start talking about the Chiefs. I mean, I love this game. I've been looking forward to this, for years. So it doesn't sound like the Chiefs are in Chris Harris's head at all. And they're highly motivated probably to go out and beat the Chiefs for the first time in a while. But you owned the Raiders back in the day. You owned them.
Right.
You yourself. I mean, you were part of a Bronco teams that owned the Raiders. So.
Right.
How did that kind of streak play out, affect the games? Whether it was you guys just knowing that eventually you'd win or a sense looking across the field that they knew at some point they'd lose?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. That you know what? The bottom line is we always used to joke around. I mean, Mike Shanahan used to put it up. You know, we're not as talented as them, just mano a mano. They're one of the most talented teams in the league. We're just tougher than them. We're smarter than them, and we're tougher than them. And eventually, they'll hurt themselves. It was like what the Patriots do to everybody. Hey, we're going to out-execute you, and eventually you shoot yourself in the foot. I mean, we're just mentally tougher than you guys. And we knew that going in. There was never any doubt that we had their number, and we knew it, and they knew it, and they knew they were going to get their ass beat.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Always trying to play complimentary football. So however we got to win, we're going to do what we have to do. So that's take care of the football. And if it's grind it out like last week and run the ball and know that your defense is playing well, we'll do it that way. And if we have to score points because of something different, because they pose a different threat, we'll adapt to that. But, we have to do our part if we're going to beat a really good football team like Kansas City.
There he is, Rich Scangarello, a.k.a. Wrinkles. So is there any part of you that thinks that all this talk this week that, the blueprint to beat Kansas City, run the ball, control the ball, and that fits with what the Broncos' identity is. Any part of you that thinks that they just may throw a curveball and, come out throwing the football and being aggressive with the idea that, hey, we're going to have to score at least maybe 27 points to win?
I hope not. I mean, I hope that's not the case. I mean, you've got to be able, you got to be able to throw the football. One thing we've learned about this Broncos team is they can't be in third and long and think they're going to be successful throwing the football. And quite frankly, nobody can, Mike. There's nobody in this league that can do that on a consistent basis.
No,
right?
But can you be first and 10 and come out and throw the football?
Well, you could throw the football some first and 10, but you damn well better be able to control the line of scrimmage. You got to run it. I mean, I think the big thing that you have to understand is the talent level. When you start looking and you start breaking down the Kansas City Chiefs and you start looking at guys like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce and, and the backs that they have in the backfield, you cannot win. You can't beat Kansas City in a shootout. You can't just say, hey, neither of us is going to play defense. We're going to throw the ball all over the ball yard and let's just see what happens. Right? You cannot do that. I mean, you've got to be able to score. They lost to the Texans 31-24, and the Texans possessed the ball, 40 minutes?
Yep.
And Kansas City, in that 40 minutes, was still able to find a way, Mike, to put up 24 points, something that I don't think we've done. Have we done that? Have we put up 24 points?
Once.
Okay, it wasn't 23 that we put up?
Once. Against, okay. What was it?
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Anyway.
And then
against the Jags.
Right. And then the Colts.
Lost. 26-24.
The Colts put up 19-1. It was 19-13. And again, the Chiefs possessed it for 20 minutes and still put up 13 points. I mean, they're averaging in 20 minutes, they average more than the Broncos do in 60 minutes.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Clock at 34. Peterman drops the throw, throws it out to the right side. It is knocked and picked off by Jalen Ramsey. He tipped it in the air. He made a diving interception, and it's the Jaguars football at midfield.
Jags radio. Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Got his wish. Yet another NFL player that said, I want out, and got what he wanted. And the Jags did just fine. They get two first-round picks from the Rams in 2020 and 2021, plus a fourth-round pick. You were just with the Rams. They've lost three in a row after winning three straight. Is this just a good, sound move, or is it a panic move that could hurt them down the road?
No,
they,
I mean,
they will have gone five straight years without a first-round pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, you know, I mean, I'm just praying that his back heals because, I mean, this could be a huge, like, you think about, oh, my goodness, how in the world? That's a huge risk with the back as bulky as Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he hasn't been able, I mean, that guy can hardly function with the back the way it's been. So, I guess they know what they're doing over there. Here's the deal. You know, they trade away Marcus Peters. Like, Marcus Peters is the most talented guy in the world. And for him to be, what, on his third team now, Kansas City, he's super talented. Kansas City doesn't want him around. Unbelievable talent. Goes to the Super Bowl last year. The Rams, like, how can we get rid of him? Even Chris Peterson, when he was with UW, didn't want him. He's the most talented guy, but the best player on their football team, or the most talented guy on their football team. He didn't want him. So, you know, I mean, if everywhere you go it smells like a turd, it just might be you. Right? You might be the turd. So, apparently, that's what's going on there, but he's super talented. He's a super talented guy. Just really interesting. Yeah, I mean, they've got, their defense has got talent, all three levels, man. They're exceptionally talented. Like, that's great that's what you traded for. I think they traded for an offensive lineman too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And that's really the, that's really the biggest issue they have right now is, you know, they are enamored, Mike, like many teams are and like many fantasy, you know, like many fantasy owners are. They're like a fantasy football ownership. They're enamored by fantasy football talent. And they ignored trench talent. They let their best offensive lineman, in my opinion, leave and Roger Saffold and, you know, John Sullivan retire, and they had no, you know, their plan was, hey, let's play two young guys that can't play. They'll figure it out. Well, good luck.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Ready to set. And a 3-2. Swing a line drive toward short. A diving catch by Turner. A catch and a dive, and the side retired. Bader hits a line drive. Turner with a nice catch to his left. And Tanner Rady retires the side in order in the top of the sixth.
Nationals radio. The Nats sweep the Cardinals. And a D.C. baseball team is in the World Series for the first time since 1933 when they were the Washington Senators. Are you a Nationals fan? Is the now that the Rockies, you know, once the Rockies were eliminated in June,
mm-hmm.
May, you know, you want to root for somebody. Are you finding yourself easy to root for the Nats?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there's no question. It goes beyond that. Obviously, it's part of it's because I have a relationship with Max Scherzer. So love Max, and he's a great dude, and, you know, has been really helpful and a great teammate to my son. So, and he's even continued to be helpful to my son, you know, while my son's still trying to, you know, to throw and make a comeback and do all those things. So Max is great. So I picked up on that. The other thing is, the perverse pleasure I get out of Bryce Harper, leaving the Nationals for a better team, for a better chance to go to the World Series and him watching at home right now. That there's something about that that brings me joy, Mike.
Well,
that I'm a bad person.
I know.
I'm Harper a bad person.
Harper does have $330 million to kind of ease those hurt feelings.
I get it, Mike. I get it. But you know what? Well, the money won't fade. He'll always have money.
He'll always have that money.
But the ring is special.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
If you get a chance to get it.
No, you're right.
Now, they did go to a World Series when they were at the Expos, right?
No.
The Nationals?
No.
They never went as the Expos?
No.
Even didn't they have Pedro and?
I don't think they did.
All right. Well, I was trying.
By the way, a quick little bonus story here for you. The Avalanche play Pittsburgh, and actually, Avalanche fans, you get to watch
what?
Your undefeated hockey team. They're on national TV tonight.
What?
Thank God for national TV. It's the only way you can watch your undefeated hockey team. So enjoy that. You can actually see this team that you've heard things about, but you can't really see it. So now you'll get to see it. tonight on the road in Pittsburgh. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up, reaction from you guys as you get set to look at this Broncos game. How you feeling on the eve of a Thursday night showdown with the Chefs? That's next. Great little observation made by one of our texters. This is why we love the 6 a.m. texters. Best of the best on the fan all day long. We're talking about, as Rockies fans, do you kind of find yourself maybe rooting for the Nats? And somebody came up with this little nugget. Guys, speaking of Bryce Harper, y'all noticed that the big four, Harper, Machado, Trout, and our homeboy Arenado, all at home during the playoffs doing nothing. About $1 billion worth of non-playoff baseball.
Wow. That's good, clean living right there, buddy.
Makes you wonder just whether or not you should be doling out those kind of contracts. What is...
Well, listen, though. I mean, in their defense, now, one, Mike, you could never understand all the intricacies of what's going on there when it comes to doling out money on contracts. And two, you got to invest in your bullpen, and they've done that.
That's true. They have done that.
That's the snark.
That's good
stuff. That's a snark that endears you to people all over. That's why people don't return my phone calls.
That's
right there, Mike.
Whole milk snark right
yes.
there. Let's see. What is up with the Denver Broncos offense on three and outs? Their mentality on offense is ridiculous. The actual example of the Broncos is to take a so-so job first before taking a great job next. If you want to be a chef, then don't take the dishwasher job. Someone else might want the dishwasher job. Hmm. It's an interesting way of talking about the Broncos offense. So,
maybe I'm slow, but like maybe slow down on that and read that again.
The example of the Broncos is to take a so-so job first before taking a great job next. Meaning if you want to be a chef, then don't take the dishwasher job. So if you want to be a great offense, don't do what the Broncos do on offense. Is that the point? Are we going to get to be a great offense with the way that we're playing offense right now?
I don't understand. Like what does the texter want them to do? Put in the Odom McVay offense? How good is that right now? How good is that offense right now? I don't understand.
But this is what we're sold on. The idea that this is the brightest, the youngest, the newest, the most creative, that's what we're getting.
Yeah. How's that working for Zach Taylor in Cincinnati right now?
Right.
Like all that stuff is to me. See, I didn't know if the texter was saying like the Broncos are the dishwasher. And you use the dishwasher job to springboard to being a chef?
No,
right,
you don't.
Springboard.
That's the thing. You don't. Well, if you want to be a chef, you don't walk into the place and say, hey, look, I want to be a chef, but I'll start by being a dishwasher. Right.
So he is saying the texter is saying the Broncos are essentially dishwashers. Why would you come here and be an offensive?
Okay, you're putting too much stock now in the texter. Let's move off from the texter. let's just.
I gotta tell you, Mike, I've been ever since you read that text. Like, yeah, you're 7 o'clock. Are we in the 7 o'clock hour
now?
Are we still in the 6 o'clock hour?
We're still in the six.
Okay, so that might be an 8 o'clock texter.
That's up early.
Because I'm thoroughly confused. I have completely lost. Maybe it's a lack of sleep. Who knows? Maybe
this
I watched too much film yesterday. Yeah, I am a wreck.
What was that?
I don't...
Oh, wait, Bill and Bill. What was that?
This is a wreck.
Oh!
Yeah.
Look who's in and into the soundbite bank.
Yes.
Your wife, Lisa, is now a soundbite. This is awesome.
My lovely wife, Lisa, that's exactly what she thinks every day when she listens to me talk. She's like, this is a wreck. All right, I'm getting off the whole kitchen analogy because I'm completely lost.
You're completely flummoxed.
What's
by
going
that.
On?
I
don't know. That's the problem. I have no idea.
You know what? I think on that note, it might be a good time to just maybe sit back, push the reset button, and start this. Start this all over. What do you say? Okay, we'll stop talking about dishwashers. Okay,
yes.
And yeah, that horrible text is like telling a horrible joke. A texter says, if you have to explain it, it's not funny. If you have to explain an analogy, it's not a good analogy. Move on. So I think I know what the texter was trying to convey there, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That was not typical 6 a.m. texter stuff. It had to be an 8 a.m. texter.
I was
early
lost.
Going, I'm up early. I hear about all these great 6 a.m. texters. Why don't I take a shot? This is why you need to stay in your lane.
You
need to stay in your 8 a.m. lane, okay?
Yeah.
Leave the 6 a.m. listeners to what they do, which is the best, okay? So 8 a.m., just go back, okay? Now, we do that at 8 a.m., you completely get that, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. It's just you expect more.
Yes, I expect a little bit better from the
6 a.m. texter. So,
yes.
That probably wasn't a 6 a.m. texter. Okay. All right. Coming up next, Vic Fangio seeming to downplay the whole how you beat KC blueprint. Does he have a point? That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.